name Jacob or Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Everybody say, when he saw the wagons.
When he saw the wagons.
Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, the wagons are coming. The wagons. Woo! I said, the wagons are coming. I said, the wagons are coming. That was something that got that old man stirred up. He didn't believe their word, but when he saw the wagons, he said, I believe. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. If I need a little background tonight, Jacob had a favorite son by the name of Joseph. Joseph was a young man that God had chosen to do many things. In all of the Old Testament, there is no parallel more perfect to the life of Jesus Christ than the life of Joseph. Joseph was a young man that went through a lot of things like Jesus did. Joseph had to endure the jealousy and the outright hatred of his brothers. As a matter of fact, when he was only 17 years of age, they sold him into slavery, and he was taken to Egypt and grew up in the house of a man by the name of Potiphar, and he served him as a servant and as a slave. His brothers took his coat and tore it and dipped it in blood and took it to their father and said, do you recognize this coat? And of course, he did. It was Joseph's coat that he had given to him. And when he saw that, they said, it looks like a wild animal has killed your son Joseph. And so Jacob, brokenhearted, believed that his son was dead for 22 years. And Joseph went on down, sold as a slave in the house of Potiphar. The Bible said that God blessed Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Everybody say, God bless Joseph in the house of Potiphar. I want you to know something tonight. God can bless you wherever you are, and God can bless you whatever you're doing. Don't you get the idea, just because things are not going your way, that God's not in it, because God was in the whole situation.
All right.
God blessed him. He rose to prominence in the house of Potiphar. As a matter of fact, the Bible said Potiphar turned everything in his household over to Joseph. Now that's really saying something for a teenager. That's really saying something for a young man just maybe in his 20s. That tells me that God had really selected Joseph for great things. I'm going to tell you tonight one special thing. Joseph maintained a right attitude and a right spirit. Joseph didn't get mad at God. He didn't get mad at his brothers. He didn't get mad at anybody. God had given Joseph some dreams, and he believed in what God gave him, and that God was going to bring it to pass. If God tells you something, you believe it. You hold on to it. You don't let go of it. No matter where you find your help. And so, he didn't let go of the dream. If you remember the story, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. He would not fall into that trap. Amen. It looked like a shortcut to greater things. But he didn't allow himself to fall into that. He said, no. He said, I'll not do this against my God. I want to tell young people tonight, you can still say no. I want to say it again. You can still say no. You must still say no. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what our society says. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. It's not right. It's a sin against God. And God still frowns on fornication. Is it all right to say that? Is it okay to still preach against sin? Is it all right to preach purity for God's people? Amen. So he said no. Well, if you remember the story, he was accused falsely, and then he was thrown into prison. Well, it looked like it's bad enough being a slave, and then rising to prominence in Potiphar's house, and then had the rug pulled out from under him for just doing the right thing, and find himself in prison, wrongly accused, falsely accused, and now he's in the prison. When he thought it, well, somebody said, cheer up. If you get worse, you cheered up and it got worse. He found himself in the prison house. But you know what? Joseph had the right attitude. His faith was not in his circumstances, right, but his faith was in his God. Right. He believed what the Lord had said, and he believed in the dreams that God gave. So the Bible said he's in prison. You know what you do when you're in prison? You just be the best prisoner you can be. That's what he did.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't long. Guess what? He was in prison, but he was over all the prison. A right attitude and a right spirit will carry you a long way. Amen. And then a couple of young men had dreams. He interpreted their dreams, and he said, now, you tell Pharaoh when you get out of here, and your dreams come true, that you tell him that I'm in here and I'm not supposed to be in here. Well, you know what happened? Pharaoh had a dream. See, it was Joseph's dreams that got him in trouble, and it was Joseph's dreams that got him out of trouble.
Come on now.
It was his dream that put him in prison, and it was his dream that got him out of prison. God had given him some special things. And I love what he said. You see, those guys, remember, the dream that Joseph had interpreted that came to pass. And the butler told Pharaoh about it. Now, the beggar's dream came true. He got killed just like Joseph. Not all dreams are good. But when Pharaoh had a dream, here's the problem. He said, nobody can tell me the dream. So, when he called Joseph out of the prison, Joseph, I love what he said. Listen to what he said. He said, listen very carefully. He said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. If I said answer of peace, that's all the answer you'll ever need. Sometimes we want an explanation, but God says peace ought to be enough. And if you have the peace of God that passes understanding, right, that'll get you through, get you through. We don't need an explanation. And many times, God does not offer an explanation. He just gives you peace. He just says it's going to be all right. And you might as well believe it. So Joseph tells Pharaoh, God's going to give you an answer of peace. And then he tells him the dream, and he gives him the interpretation of the dream. He said there's going to be 7 years of famine, and there's going to be 7 years of good, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And that's exactly what happened. And Pharaoh said, mine. He said, well, what am I going to do? He said, well, he said, you need to get somebody that's real smart and somebody that's real good. Amen. And put them over all this business. And during the 7 good years, you need to save up all you can. And then when the 7 bad years come, you'll have enough grain to get you through the tough times. And Pharaoh said, oh. He said, I don't know anybody smarter than you are. Hey, let me tell you something. When God gets ready to promote you, he can promote you big time. Here's a man that went from being in a prison cell to being the emperor, or the, I should say, the prime minister of the country of Egypt in one afternoon. He didn't even fill out an application. He didn't have a job interview. He just got the job whether he wanted it or not. He wanted it. It was better than what he had. This is what God had been preparing him for. So he finds himself. I'm telling you, man, that's something else, brother. Neil, you talked about just getting out of prison. Do you think Jonah was shouting? Yeah. When they took that old prison garb off of him and put that priestly robe or that princely robe on his shoulders, and they put the ring on his finger, and they put that signet around his neck, and they put him in the chariot of Pharaoh, and he began to ride around, and then he was second in the kingdom. Woo! Amen. You think God doesn't have your address? He hasn't lost it. He still has your address. He still knows where you are. Job said, I don't know where God is, but he sure knows where I am. Hallelujah! Yes. And God promoted Joseph! Amen. God has a sense of humor. Guess who showed up in Egypt for some bread? The brothers that had sold him in the slavery. Amen. You got to watch out how you treat people. Amen. School teachers, you better be nice to those kids. One of them might be your doctor one of these days. One of them might be your lawyer one of these days. Yeah, but you better be nice to those kids. Yeah, but they might be your nurse in the nursing home. You better be nice to those kids. You gotta be nice to people, because you don't know how life's going to turn the table around. Joseph is he's on the throne now. His brothers come to Egypt seeking grain because there's no grain in Israel. The family's hungry. And Jacob said, I heard that there's grain over in Egypt. Here they come. They didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph recognized them. Woo! Amen. But thank God for a forgiving spirit. Thank God for a heart after God. Amen. I'm going to kind of go through this quickly because I want to get to the main thing here. Amen. But on the second trip, when they come back the second time, Joseph invites them into the banquet hall. They still don't know who he is. He very much knows who they are. And so he invites them in, and suddenly he is overwhelmed by emotion. And he can't hold it any longer. He runs out of the room and he bursts into tears. Amen. He just couldn't hide it anymore. And so he invites, he sends everybody and all the servants to go. And there stands his brethren that had sold him into slavery. His brethren that hated him. Now, 22 years later, here he stands, amen, in that place, and he says, I am Joseph. Well, you talk about knees not. Eyeballs. Faces riches turned into ashes. They were literally, the Bible says that he said, I'm Joseph, and he didn't get to what he was expecting.
No.
He scared them to death. he was expecting something different, but that's what he got.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible said they were troubled. You know, that's what happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When they went down to the tomb to prepare his body more properly for burial and visit him, the Bible said the stone was rolled away and there was an angel sitting there saying, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He's alive. And he's alive forevermore. And they were troubled. Woo! Hallelujah. It's scary, folks, when you think somebody's dead and they're not. Especially when you did them wrong. And they come back. And they're in a position of authority and a position of power over you. That's the situation that Joseph's brethren found themselves in. He said, I am Joseph. Amen. Now, he had to say that twice to get their attention. They didn't quite get it the first time. Not like he wanted them to. Now, I want you to look here at chapter 45 and verse number 5. He said, now therefore be not grieved. Now, isn't that a beautiful spirit? He's not bitter. He's not hateful. He's not vengeful. He says to them, he says, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. Isn't that amazing how Joseph could care about their feelings when they were so harsh and mean and full of hatred against him? Some people I know would have had that ball in their spirit for 22 years, and they would have been saying, when I get out of here, when I get a chance, I'm going to squash them like a bug. But not Joseph. He said, don't be upset. Don't blame yourselves. He's putting them at peace. And then he says, don't be angry that you sold me hither. He said, for God, everybody say, God sent me here to preserve life. Woo! You see, when you can see what God is in life and that God has a plan for you, it makes all the difference.
Yes, sir.
You'll look at your troubles in a different way. Yes. You can look at troubles and say, God allowed this in my life. God put this in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I could preach a little bit, but I got to hurry up. Amen. He said, God sent me here to preserve life. Sounds a little bit like Jesus when he said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that through him the world might be saved. In other words, he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, even in the time of trouble and in the time of rejection, Joseph and Jesus could see the big picture. We've got to see that. You've got to see the bigger picture. You can't just get focused on yourself. Now, I want you to see this next thing. In the 8th chapter, in the 45th chapter, the 8th verse, verse number 8, he said, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Hallelujah. Listen, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh. This guy's not even 40 years old yet. And he's calling him Pharaoh's daddy. Not because he's old, but because he's wise. Because the Spirit of God was upon him. Because God had given him a mission and a place. God is Father of Pharaoh. And then he said he's made me Lord of all his house and ruler through all the land of Egypt. Here, here's a foreigner, and he's ruling all over the Egyptians. Here's somebody come out of Egypt. I mean, come out of Israel, come out of prison, and gets out of prison and becomes a ruler of the whole land. Woo! You think that's a God thing? I believe that's a God thing. Amen. And then he goes on, he says, haste ye and go up to my father and say to him, thus saith my son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. He said, Daddy, amen, come home. Yes. Isn't that something? He said, God has made me Lord. Yes. God has made me Lord. He went from slavery to sovereign. That's just only God can do something like that.
Yeah,
right. Amen. Hallelujah. It reminds me of Jesus. The Bible said that he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. Amen. Everybody say he humbled himself. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Amen. He became a man, though he was God. Amen. And the Bible said, therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 10, he said, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me. If I say near unto me,
near.
Don't you want to be near the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God. I always love that verse in the book of Genesis or in the book of Exodus when the Lord was talking to Moses and he said, there is a place by me. Hallelujah. That's how I want to be in that place by him.
Yes,
wherever that place is, that's where I want to be.
Yes.
There is a place by me. He said, I'm going to draw you near. Verse 11, he said, and there will I nourish you. Amen. You know, God knows about feeding folks. All right. He said, any man hunger? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Anybody thirsty? He said, come unto me and drink. Hallelujah. Amen. God's about nourishing people. He's not about, if you leave here hungry tonight, it's your own fault. He's doing everything he can to feed you right now. Amen. I can't force it on you, but I can sure swing it up. Amen. You know, the problem when you come to church, some people come to church with a pitchfork. And they feed everybody. Oh, brother so-and-so needed that. And sister so-and-so needed that. And they keep shoveling it to somebody else. And they starve to death themselves. Other people come to church like a sponge and they soak it up. That's it, Jesus. Oh, I need that. Oh, Lord, give us some more. Yes, I want a pitchfork spirit. I want a sponge spirit. I want to soak it up. I want to get so saturated that when I bump into somebody, it gets on them. That's how I see that. That's Holy Ghost. He said, I will nourish thee. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are labored or heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden. Amen. He's in the nourishing business tonight. He's in the nourishing business. The 13th verse, he said, and you shall tell my Father of all my glory.
Yes.
We got something to tell tonight, folks.
Yes, we do.
Amen. You see, when Joseph left, he didn't even have his beautiful robe. His brother stripped his robe off of him. Does that sound familiar? They took Jesus' robe off. And they put a fake robe on him. Amen. They ripped his robe off. That's what happened to Joseph. They took his robe away. When he was sold into slavery, he was sold naked. He was sold penniless. He had nothing whatsoever but a dream from God. That's all he had, was a dream from God. But now he said, I want you to tell my father about my glory. Tell Daddy, I did good. Tell Daddy, I'm a success now. Heaven, I didn't fail after all. Heaven, yeah, I went to prison, but prison didn't stop me. I was a slave, but that didn't stop me. God honored me. God blessed me. God promoted me. God made me a success. Amen. Tell my father about my glory. I'm going to tell you this one thing. When you see Jesus in heaven, it's not going to be the same Jesus John saw and Peter saw. Amen. It's not going to be Mary's baby, Nicky Miles. It's not going to be the same Jesus you see hanging around in churches on crosses and stuff. And that's not the Jesus you're going to see. Could I just read a little to you? Let me read it real quick. I'll try to be fast here. I can't miss this opportunity. John saw Jesus after his resurrection in Revelation. In the book of Revelation, let me just read the whole book. No, I can't. Verse number 12, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12, he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and men turned. I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in the garment down to his foot, and girt about the pouch with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And that wasn't the same Jesus he been used to see. Yeah, this is the glorified Jesus. Yeah. And if I had about 2 hours, I'd preach that to you. Yeah, but I don't have that right now. Yeah, amen. Let me go over to the chapter, Acts chapter 19, I believe it is, and read just a little bit more. And he said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth go a sharp two-edged sword, that which he should smite the nations. And he ruled them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Woo! Amen. Let me tell you about his glory. King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He that ever liveth. Hallelujah. What a God we serve tonight.
Yes, sir.
He said, I want you to go a moment and tell Daddy about my glory.
Right.
I want you to tell him about my wheels. Amen. That I'm sporting here. I want you to tell him about my fine threads that I'm wearing. Amen. I want you to tell him about my throne. I want you to tell him about my house. I want you to tell him about the horses. I want you to tell him about the wagons.
All right.
Hallelujah. I want you to tell him about my glory. Amen. Hey, mamas and daddies like to know that their kids do good. You want your children to exceed you. Amen. You want to get a mama and a daddy excited, you're still talking about their kids. especially if they're doing good. Amen. Verse 13, he said, you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and listen, and all that ye have seen. Tell him what you saw. Don't just tell him what I told you to tell him, but you tell him what you saw. Amen. I wish I had time to tell you what I've seen tonight. I have seen the glory of the Lord. Amen. I have seen the Shekinah cloud of the Lord. Amen. I have seen people that were came in lame, without a cane, get up out of the wheelchair. Amen. Some deaf ears on the spot. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've seen some of God's glory.
Yes.
We've seen some of God's glory. Amen. I've seen alcoholics delivered. I've seen drug addicts delivered. Amen. I've watched God do wonderful and marvelous things. I've seen God's glory. How about you? Anybody here seen some glory? If you can see the glory here tonight, it's because you had your eyes closed. That was a little glory in this place.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let me hurry on. Amen. I like this here in verse number 19. Go to verse number 19. I'm rushing right along here. Amen. He said, now thou art command this, do ye. He said, take you wagons out of the land. They must say wagons. Plural. What is that? Not just one, but plural. Take you wagons. When he got ready to bless his daddy, he said, it's going to take more than one.
Yeah.
He said, I want you to take wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. I love this next verse. You know I preach on this a lot. He said, and regard not yourself. Everybody say, forget about you. You think you've got stuff? Yeah, man, God got stuff that's going to put your stuff to shame. Yeah, man. When you get into God's stuff, you're not going to care about man's stuff.
Right?
Yeah, you don't care what people have. You're not impressed any longer by what somebody else has. You're not impressed by what somebody else wears. You're not impressed with what somebody else drives. You're not impressed by what somebody else feels. Because you got a God and he's got stuff. Woo! And I'm telling you, friend, when you get to heaven, streets are paved with gold. God's got some stuff. Some people are going to miss heaven because they're too worried about their stuff. I couldn't help but throw that in. That wasn't even part of the original message, but that's kind of a statement. I get tired of seeing people hung up on stuff. And so he told me, he said, don't you regard your stuff.
Wow.
Now I'm coming to get ready to load your wagon. And when I get through loading your wagon, your stuff, you're not going to have room for your stuff.
Right.
Your stuff's not even going to, you're not even going to want. When you see what I got. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
hey, when you get full of Holy Ghost and you get the blessings of God on your life and you get a spiritual vision, amen.
This world is just my home.
It's not my home. I'm just passing through.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. Amen. He said that. So don't you worry about your stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then going down to verse number 22, he said, tell all of them, or to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. Everybody say, changes of raiment. Amen. You see, when you come to God, your clothes are not good enough.
All right.
You remember the prodigal son? When he came to the Father, what did he say? He said, you killed the fatted calf. I'm God, glad God's not any fun food. And lean meat. You know, that's what you call a cow with just two legs. And And they told him all the words of Joseph. And that still wasn't enough. Some folks' words just won't do.
Amen. I said some people, words are not good enough.
And let me tell you something. You don't have to take my word for it.
You can have it for yourself. Amen. We sang that old song this afternoon.
Amen.
In Acts the 2nd chapter, you can read it for yourself. Amen.
Amen. You don't have to ask anybody else. It's the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is giving it away. You can have it for yourself. So they came, told all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them. It said, and when he saw the wagon, he revived.
Glory. Amen.
And there's some wagons around here. Can you hear it?
Yep. And there's some wagons around here tonight. And they're bringing good stuff.
Don't regard your stuff. You need to get the good stuff.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a peace that passes understanding. There's a joy that is unspeakable.
Right.
There's a love that is incomprehensible.
Right.
Amen. God has things tonight that surpass anything and everything that you ever heard about. Amen. There's some good stuff here tonight in this place. And he said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is alive. I will go and see him before I die.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. It's enough.
Yes.
It's enough.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He is alive. He is alive.
Yes.
Amen.
And I'm telling you tonight, you may have come here with doubts in your heart, but if you'll just come up here, God will load your way. Woo! I said, God will load your wagon.
Amen.
You just bring it to him and see if he wants. Amen. You can bring your doubts. God can handle doubt. You can bring your fears. God can handle your fears.
Yeah.
You can bring your sins and your addictions and your problems. God can handle all of that.
Amen.
And then he'll load your wagon. And he'll never, ever stand together. Thank you so much for your time here tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for hearing me. Amen. My question is, does anybody need God to load your wagon? Are you tired of dragging around the same old stuff? Are you sick and tired of being sick? Had enough. This stuff is not making it. This is not what I want. This is not what I need. Amen. Joy is missing in my life. Peace is missing in my life. Amen. I invite you tonight. Let the Lord load your heart. Amen. Bring it to you. Bring your emptiness.
Thank you. that you are.
He will supply.
Oh.
For me.